Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Biden is going for it. White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy reports.
The re-election announcement came in this YouTube video, opening with violent images of January 6th.
Freedom.
The president tells viewers he's inspired to run again because he says Republicans have been threatening America's personal freedoms.
Dictating what healthcare decisions women can make, banning books, and telling people who they can love. All while making it more difficult for you to be able to vote.
He says now is no time to be complacent.
That's why I'm running for re-election.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Former President Trump bashed President Biden in a statement, referring to his administration as a failure. He pointed to issues that include inflation, immigration, foreign policy, crime, and education, and said, quote, it is almost inconceivable that Biden would even think of running for re-election.
Our new CBS News poll finds just 55% of Democrats believe Mr. Biden should run again. 86% of them cite his age. He is 80. Jury selection begins in New York today in a civil trial involving former President Trump. When writer E. Jean Carroll announced she was suing, claiming he raped her in a New York City department store dressing room in the 90s, she explained,
I'm filing this lawsuit not just for myself, but for every woman in America who's been grabbed, groped, harassed, sexually assaulted.
Mr. Trump has repeatedly denied her allegations. Overseas, thousands of Americans and other foreigners are still hoping to escape deadly fighting in Sudan during a shaky 72-hour ceasefire that took effect overnight. Correspondent MTS Tayyab is at the foreign desk.
Near constant gunfire continues to echo across the Sudanese capital, and heavily armed fighter jets can be seen streaking low across the Khartoum skyline as civilians, including several thousand foreign nationals, remain caught in the crossfire.
From Minneapolis to Iowa, people who live along the Mississippi River are bracing for the worst flooding in more than 20 years. Cassville, Wisconsin's city clerk Molly Roskam says locals have been busy filling sandbags.
It's been everyone. The entire community has been coming out to help.
The river is expected to crest just under a foot of the all-time record set in 1965. And Aaron Rodgers is moving east. The 39-year-old star passer has been traded to the Jets. Packers fans have mixed feelings about his departure.
I'm glad he's moving on. It's time.
Glad Green Bay had him for those years because he did have an incredible run. And he's probably the most talented quarterback that's played NFL.
This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The Mississippi River is rising in La Crosse. It's over 15 and a half feet, and forecasters expect it to get over 16 feet by Thursday. At least three city parks are closed. Wisconsin Assembly Republicans are trying again today to require people on Badger Care Plus to renew their status with the state every 6 months instead of automatically re-enrolling. In sports, the Packers and Jets have a trade agreement for Aaron Rodgers. Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst says they had to get it done before the NFL draft.
We've been working on this for a while, and to get beyond the draft, I think would have been tough for both teams.
The two teams are swapping first-round picks and making other conditional moves. Also, the Bucks face playoff elimination after last night's loss to Miami. The Brewers fell to Detroit. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Don't you deserve a job you love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
Every family has one. The Smother.
Holy why!
Hi, Erica!
This is my daughter. I baked her in my tummy.
The Goldbergs every weeknight.
Weeknights at 5 and 5:30 on My24.
With a house full of women, it's every man for himself.
What is it about hanging bras in the bathroom like Christmas ornaments? If I don't hang my underwear in the bathroom, that would be terrifying.
Tim Allen is the last man standing.
Weeknights at 6 and 6:30 on My24.
High pay with excellent benefits? Check. Fair treatment and safe work conditions? Check. A paid training program? Check. Check all of your career boxes with the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7. Experienced industrial painters and drywall finishers needed now or become an apprentice. Call Tom Coyne at 262-488-4839 today. 262-488-4839 or go to iupatdc7.com.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUK.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up? This
is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, solid. Right on.
What's up, man? What's your name? Yeah. What's up? What's everything?
Mom.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. Man, how you doing?
You know, I'm still kind of upset about the Bucks game last night, but I'll get over it.
Man, don't even start. Look, we'll talk about that a little bit later on, man. I got this information for you, though, Calvin. Here's some news, man, that you and I can both, get upset about. I was watching the weather person this morning, and she said that we can be looking at not until the middle of May where we start really seeing some warm weather and consistent sun.
Yeah, well,
they
teased us with the 70 whatever 2 weeks ago.
But do we expect to pay the price like this, man?
I didn't.
For the next two plus weeks, rain and not much sun. Well, there's a silver lining to every dark cloud, and so my guest, Miss Julie De La Terry, is on the phone from Singing Trees. If anybody can give us some hope, it is my friend Julie De La Terry. Good morning to you. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl. It's always fun to be on the radio with you. And, of course, you mentioned the weather, and I could tell you all kind of things about that.
Well, you know, you own and the proprietor of Singing Trees. And so when you grow your own food and all that, how much impact is right now? How long does it take for your land to dry out to where you can plant?
Well, first I just want to say a little bit of thing about why the weather's like this, when I went after my bachelor's degree, it was in climate change. And what we're seeing here is a massive wobbliness in the atmosphere, and that has to do with excess carbon dioxide, excess heat in the atmosphere, which holds more water, which holds more thermodynamic energy, which takes the jet stream and makes it extremely wobbly. And that's why we're experiencing this kind of weather. So it's, just look at the physics.
Julie, hang on a second. It's 8 o'clock in the morning and you're talking physics. My mind won't accept it. I don't. Maybe yours, Calvin. Is your mind accepting it?
You know, I'm always down for some physics, but it's pretty early.
I had my coffee, but I might need to go get some more. If you're going to talk in that language, but really, so you're saying that we're in this spot where we are right now because of man-made issues.
Yes.
Okay. You know that people who push back and they don't agree with any of that global warming stuff, they think it's a conspiracy.
Well, actually, I call it global chaos or climate chaos, because some places get drier, some places get warmer, some places get more water. You know, it's basically chaotic. So yeah. The only thing we know is that we don't know, right?
Yes.
We don't know what's going to happen.
Well, look, in California, for I don't know how many years, there's been a drought. And you know, in Arizona and all those places, and, you know, droughts in Las Vegas. And now all of a sudden, you know, I thought Mother Nature doesn't make any mistakes. She's going to make sure that things work out right. Am I oversimplifying it?
Well, Mother Nature will teach us a lesson eventually. But if you want to hear about a man-made weather event, there was a lot of pollution coming out of China. I think it was the early 80s, and it kind of settled over the Sudan.
Right.
Maybe it wasn't the 80s. Maybe it was the 70s. And they went through 20 years of drought, and millions of people died.
Right.
And it was because of the pollution from China was sitting over that country. So we know human beings can change weather patterns. We know that.
Wow. So, you know, when you hear the constant pushback from people on all of this climate change conversation, do you ever shake your head and say, you know, because politically it's become a football, and so the more you hear people point out what these issues really are, because the average American does not know the civics. I mean, not the civics part of it, but the
physics.
I told you it's early in the morning. The physics part of this. You know, it's easy to say, well, we're not doing the damage that people say we are. You say what to that?
Well, what I'm saying is, if you go out into nature, if you get out of your house and you go out and you start paying attention to things, you'll see the patterns yourself. I mean, we all can see it. A lot of the other things that are happening is it's not only hard on human beings, these weather patterns, but it's hard on
the animals,
the migrating birds that are coming back from South America. They're not finding the insects here to eat that would be happening if the weather was about the same temperature that it is every year. And then the insects aren't hatching when they're supposed to be because it's not warm enough. I mean, it disrupts all of these natural systems and puts pressure on living beings that we don't even know, we don't even see. But if we would take our powers of observation, we would see that there's something direly wrong with this picture.
You know, Julie, I'm a lowly city dweller. And so I was watching, what is it? Oh, Robbins. And, you know, because I'm a silly city dweller, we don't have a whole lot of, you know, animals and those kinds of things. But I saw the robins that I've been used to seeing come back to my yard over the last, I don't know, 20-some-odd years. I guess they can live that long, huh? And so they arrived way too early. And, you know, the ground was still frozen. And then we had a major snow, and it was just amazing to me to see them that early. Normally, they're right on time, but this time it was different. But I could notice that they arrived too early. So you're right. There's something really taking place, and for the American people who don't believe it or don't agree with it, I guess long term they'll see the ramifications of it. Right? Unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's not just. Yeah, and it's not just ramifications on us. It's on all the living creatures of this planet. We have to, like, think outside of ourselves and realize that we're all this one big community of living beings on this planet. And we have to maybe stop so much focusing on what humans need, but focus on what the planet needs. And that means that we have to, like, use our powers of critical thinking and try to understand the ramifications of our actions and the ramifications of our governmental policies and things of that nature. And back to what you see in the city. There is an incredible amount of wildlife that end up in the city. It's crazy. I've studied it. There's tons and tons of really great possibilities in the cities to make habitat. My brother, he's an alderman up in Appleton, and they have a no-mow May up there, and they try to just get people to not even mow their lawn for a month just to provide some habitat for the pollinators because they see an increase in bees and butterflies right in the middle of the city just by, you know, kind of chilling out for a month. And maybe it'd be great if the city passed an ordinance so you couldn't spray everywhere, because that not only is harmful for the critters, but it's harmful for the people in the city. So actually, people in cities could make like a paradise if they would start thinking about what they need and what the critters need in the city, which is, you know, good habitat, lots of greenery, no chemical spraying, you know, things of that nature. You'd be surprised how much water goes through the lawns of a city and into the aquifer. And if cities would, like, become greener spaces, it would be good for everybody.
You know, Julie, if part of it, I think, is we are so selfish. Human beings are so selfish that we aren't concerned about what happens after we're gone. And so we don't see these things, or they're not going to impact us directly in those of us, especially those of us who are in your and my age demographic in the remainder of our lives. But you got to think about the people who come after us, and that's, you kind of are connected with Native Americans. The Native Americans, they see the whole thing in a different perspective. They've been right all along. We've just kind of dismissed them and their way of life as being some archaic, you know, barbaric way of life, but they really kind of had things figured out, didn't they?
Oh yeah, their whole spiritual practice, that doesn't matter what tribe you look at, is that of connectiveness, respect, and gratitude for the earth, for all components of the earth, even the stones. Everything has a spirit. Everything has an identity. It's a system, a fluid system of reciprocity, growth, renewal, rebirth. It's about life. It's not about death. So, like, I was raised in a Christian tradition, and the focus is on the death of Christ, right, and this and that, and it's all on death. Whereas what attracted me to Native American spirituality is it's about life. It's about, what do we do so we do a good job while we're here? How do we respect the gifts that we've been given? And we have to keep the future generations in our mind, and not just the generations of humans, but the future generations of all living beings.
So, Julie,
and that's what attracted me to that.
I could hear people hanging up the phone when you said the rocks have life. I could just see people. I mean, you know, when the things we don't know, that's our response to things. But, you know, you clearly, and the Native Americans who, you know, knew to leave the place better that they visited than it was before they got there. There's got to be something great about that way of thinking. And if we could do that all along the way, we wouldn't be having to worry about the problems that we deal with today. Got to go to a break. Julie De La Terry, who is the owner of Singing Trees Farm. 844-967-2789. Glad you're back. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A blend of clouds and sun today with a high of 45. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 28. Tonight, mainly clear. High temperatures reach up to 50. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. Turning much warmer Thursday and Friday with highs in the low 60s. Chance for scattered rain showers Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
At 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Julie De La Terry of Singing Trees Farm. So we talked about these changes in the weather patterns and all of those things. When do you start planting? When is a safe time? When does the ground have to be dry enough before you can actually start planting?
Well, the thing is, there's a number of things that have to happen. The ground has to be dry enough, of course, but then we can't have nighttime temperatures that are freezing.
Right.
There can't be a frost, right? We can put seeds in the ground, but then the ground has to be a certain temperature. I can't get my peas to germinate unless it's at least 50 degrees in the ground, which means I haven't even planted any spring crops yet because the ground's not warm enough. So the whole planting season is being delayed. So that means when it finally does get warm enough, I'm going to have to do all the work at once. Bam. But the biggest thing that's happening right now is it keeps being cold at night. And the apple trees and the pear trees and the plums and all that, they're trying to bloom right now and they're trying to get pollinated. Well, the pollinators aren't out. Plus, when you got these nighttime temperatures below freezing, if it comes at the right time, it'll destroy all the fruit. I won't have any crops. And this is what's happening all over Wisconsin. We could lose an entire fruit crop for the entire state of Wisconsin because of this weather. This could be a catastrophic situation. And this is what's been predicted with climate change, that these sorts of things will happen. And I'm seeing them happen. I learned about this when I went to college 15 years ago, and it's almost textbook. It's everything that they told me was going to happen.
So when you say, I mean, it's, what are we at? We're at the end of April. We're heading into May. How far are we off from what the weather should be? What should we be in the 60s? Well,
Yeah. Typically, I would have, if I wanted to do early crop potatoes, I'd have them in the ground by the second week of April. I would have had my peas in the ground the second week of April.
Really?
Flowering would have happened, or, you know, some progress would have been made in my perennial cropping system. If I'd have planted spinach, it'd be like 2-3 inches right now. But wow. If I'd have planted it, it all would have froze off. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm sitting here waiting.
So this is across the state where these problems are, and whether or not they're organic or not, it's the same thing, right?
Well, I mean, we could look at a massive food shortage because of this. So if you want evidence of climate change, go to the grocery store and see half the food not on the shelves. I mean, this is the things we're talking about.
You know,
this is serious.
You know, and I haven't, you know, we don't hear a lot about that. We certainly know, as I was watching the news again, and they projected cooler than normal temperatures all the way through the first couple of weeks of May. So if that projection comes to pass, you're really talking about a horrible, horrible beginning to the season, and there is no catching up.
Well, some crops that have a shorter growing season will be fine, but like longer growing season crops, it's going to be hard to get them to, you know, all the way to ripeness because it didn't have a long enough season. A lot of crops like small grains or garden vegetables or whatnot, sometimes they have a 2 or 3 month growing season. Right. So it has to be warm all during those 3 months. So, I mean, it's squishing our growing season down. So unless we have a long, warm fall, we're going to have a heck of a time getting this stuff to get all the way to maturity.
So when you're talking about like corn, right? Corn mm-hmm. takes, you know, the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly retards the growth of it, and as you run out of time for it to reach its full growth.
Right. I mean, it might not be as heavy in the ear, might be kind of light. And so then when the farmer goes to the mill, they don't get their weight. They don't get the cost back that they put in the growing the crop. The crop is not of the same quality. Yeah. I mean, you could just, it's endless. The effects can be endless.
But, you know, you talked about the fruit and the fruit part of it, which is pretty delicate as it is, right? I mean, growing fruit is you know, I mean, it's kind of a delicate thing, right? I mean, the weather, really, some of the vegetables, maybe, am I right or wrong, correct me, but apples seem to be pretty hardy. Pears, I mean, those things, is it safe to say that?
Well, I mean, they are hardy. It's perennial agriculture, but when they bloom, it's the most delicate time. So if a freeze comes through when they're blossoming,
right,
like in an apple, the blossom actually is the fruit. So if a freeze comes through and kills that blossom, there will be no apples on that tree. And so the timing is critical. Plus, we need pollinators on those blossoms to pollinate them. And pollinators don't come out when it's like 40 degrees and cold rain. You're not going to see pollinators out.
So where are the pollinators while they're awaiting this warm weather? I mean, because the pollinator, the cold weather kills them, right?
Well, you know, they just kind of crawl under a couple leaves and just chill out and watch television. I don't know what they do while they're waiting for the warm weather to come back.
My friend, listen, we've got to go to a break. The effervescent Julie Delaterry of Singing Trees. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. I don't know what kind of coffee you're drinking, but I better have some of it.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Special Report. Message from President Biden today.
This is not a time to be complacent. That's why I'm running for re-election.
He made it official in a video statement.
I know we're still a country that believes in honesty and respect and treating each other with dignity. That we're a nation where we give hate no safe harbor. We believe that everyone is equal.
Democrats are split on whether 80-year-old Mr. Biden should go for 4 more years. Only 55% back his bid. CBS News Deputy Director of Surveys Jennifer DePinto.
There are 45% of Democrats who don't want Biden to run, and his age is a top reason. 86% said that.
UVA political analyst Larry Sabato warns it could be costly for competitors who go after Mr. Biden on the age issue.
You have to be careful how you do it, because there are a lot of senior citizens out there who vote. In fact, that's the heaviest turnout.
Former President Trump, who's also running, calls the Biden administration a failure. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin's Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson wants a statewide referendum on abortion, telling the Milwaukee Press Club, quote, "I have a hard time believing people would allow abortion past about 12 weeks," unquote. But he did not say how he would vote. Before Roe was overturned, women in Wisconsin could seek abortions up to 20 weeks. However, Wisconsin voters can't change state law by referendum. Instead, a constitutional amendment would have to be created and passed the GOP-controlled legislature 2 consecutive sessions before voters could even weigh in. With student enrollment down, school districts in Racine, Wausau, Superior, and La Crosse are among those with plans to either close or combine schools. The Wisconsin Policy Forum reporting the 2020-2021 school year was the 7th in a row that public school enrollment was down in Wisconsin. I'm Jay Natnair. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a 3-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media Station or on the app.
It's time to take your fitness to the next level. Join Brew City CrossFit in downtown Milwaukee. Brew City CrossFit offers a variety of safe, fun, and effective daily workouts that will challenge and transform you. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned athlete, their skilled trainers will help you reach your fitness goals. You can even schedule a free trial class by logging on to BrewCityCrossFit.com. What are you waiting for? BrewCityCrossFit.com. Brew City CrossFit, Milwaukee's number one CrossFit gym.
Are you an experienced industrial painter, drywall finisher, or want to be? Do you want more than a job, but a high-paying career where your interests are well represented, ensuring a safe work environment? The International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7 wants you. Bring your knowledge or ask about paid training. Learn more now. Call Tom Coyne, 262-488-4839, 262-488-4839, or go to the union's website, iupatdc7.com.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Seems to me, girl, you know I've done all I can. You see a big stone and I borrow. Yeah. Ooh. That's why I'm easy.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is the one and only Julie Delaterre, and she is the owner of Singing Trees Farm. So let's talk a little bit. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. I'm sorry. A call from Dave from Milwaukee. Hey, good morning to you, Dave. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Hey, Earl. Good morning. Good morning, Julie. Great show as usual.
Thank you.
I have a suggestion for gardeners, home gardeners who may be a little impatient, like I always am in the springtime with our miserable Milwaukee area weather. Cold frames. I've got about 130 square feet of cold frames. All my plants are up and growing already. I actually was a little late planting this year, beginning of April. I think April 2nd, I planted in the ground my seeds, and pretty much everything's up and tucked away in their cold frames. It gets very warm during the day, and the heat, it's enough. As long as it doesn't get too cold at night, the plants do very well.
What's a cold frame for those of us who don't know?
Jewel, you want to explain?
Well, cold frames that I harden out some of my plants, and basically you can use like glass windows. You can use insulated polycarbonate that you go and get at a hardware store or whatever. But you make like a box with a sloped edge towards the sun, and then you put your plants inside there. It's like a mini greenhouse. And it's great as long as the plants stay small, but, I mean, you can't, like, finish them out in there. You can maybe grow lettuce or something like that. Or like me, I put my flats of my little baby plants in there and I put them out into the field. But you're entirely correct. That's a great way to start. And the cities are a little bit more of a heat island, so it's going to be a little bit warmer than cities. So between a cold frame and being slightly warmer, that's a great way to get going on it. You can go online, you can look up cold frame designs, and anybody can build them. It's not that difficult to do. So great point.
Started out the way you do in starting plants and then transplanting them. But then I redesigned my cold frames to be modular and collapsible. I leave the plants. I start them early, like I started 2nd of April. And as they get big enough, now the weather's warmer, I just take the cold frames off and I put them away. I take them apart and I put them away. And I don't have to, there's no transplanting shock or anything. So, I have a question for you, Julie, too. Japanese beetles. Do you know a organic method to deal with Japanese beetles? Because I had to remove a apple tree that was a Japanese beetles magnet that was just being devastated by them.
This is a real fun subject for me right now because I've been trying to figure it out because I've seen whole like clouds of them coming through agricultural areas and actually it's like a plague. And I'm trying to figure out where are they coming from. And one of my thoughts was they might because they love ground that's high in organic matter. They live under the ground as grubs and they need a lot of organic matter. So one of my thoughts was they might be coming from the cities where they constantly thatch their lawns and make lawns full of high organic matter, and there's no moles. Usually moles will go underground and eat the grubs, but people in cities don't want moles, so they get rid of the moles, they grow lots of Japanese beetles, they leave the city, they fly out into the countryside. That's one of my thoughts. I think that's why there's so many of them. So the other thing is I used a trap last year. It's a Japanese beetle trap. You hang it in the tree, there's a little pheromone in there, and they go down inside of this plastic bag, and there's a bottleneck, and they get stuck in the bottom. It worked fairly well, but I was still going around trying to knock them off my plants, because you're right, they can just, like, defoliate
so
a plant, like, within hours. It's crazy.
So, Julie, I'm sorry, go ahead, finish your point.
So what I do is I don't discourage the moles from being in my space. They're everywhere because they're eating the grubs. There's also something called milky spore you can put on the ground. It's organic, but then you kill all the grubs. So there might be larvae down there that you don't want to kill, that the milky spore, it's like a fungus, it'll kill everything. So I'm not sure what the best answer to this Japanese beetle thing is, but in the last 2 years, I've never seen anything like it.
You mentioned, Julie, about dethatching the lawns, which is what I do. What is the problem when you dethatch?
Well, I don't know if I use the right term. What I mean is, like, when you mow a lawn over and over again and you put the grass clippings on, so maybe it's not the thatching. Maybe
The dethatching is once you get all that dead brown grass from the winter, getting that, you know, up so your lawn can breathe and take in the nutrients that it needs to take in to grow.
Right. So that probably wasn't the right term. What I meant is mowing lawns over and over and letting the clippings drop and having grown high in organic matter. That's what the Japanese beetle larvae go for. That is their bar. That's where they go to have their best drinks of all, is right in that high organic matter situation.
So, Calvin, mark this down. I said something and got it right, man, that Julie didn't know. Man, mark that down, man. That's got to be a first. It'll never, ever happen again. But anyway, hey, Dave, thank you very much for the call, man. You know, Julie, so organic growing, you know, for those of us who don't understand any of these things, so the bugs and the bees and, I mean, the bugs and all the things that attack the things that we are growing, I mean, that's because that's what they live on, right? I mean, that's their life cycle. And so it's almost an impossible thing to get rid of them because they're part of nature and the production of whatever it is we're growing. So when you then come in and what is done, I guess in commercial farming, is they just spray everything to kill all those things. But by doing that, it's, you know, long term, you're killing the people.
You got it. The thing with Japanese beetles is it's an introduced insect. It's from Japan. It's not supposed to be here. So they don't have really any natural predators other than the moles eating the grubs in the ground. And right. They are getting really bad. So it could get to a point where it's a plague level, kind of like with the emerald ash borer. They came in from overseas. And last year in my area of the state, 50% of the ash trees died overnight. There's the forests, so half of them are dead because of that insect that got brought here from somewhere else. But back to controlling, yes, like potato farmers, they use fungicides, they fumigate the soil, they put like 15 different chemicals on. And like I was talking to this native lady from Idaho, her tribe would rent land to a potato farmer and they would harvest the potatoes and they would let them sit in piles because they had to let the chemicals fumigate out of the potatoes before they packaged them because there is that much chemicals in them.
Well, you're scaring people to not ever eat potatoes again.
Just support the organic potato farmers, you're right. I mean, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I'm trying to grow really good food. There's probably a lot of other people out there trying to do it too, but then there's the price point and all that other stuff. That's a whole other conversation. But you're right. I mean, it's hard for people who live in urban areas who can't grow all their own food to be able to afford to go make really good choices. And that is a real big challenge right now for people that want to eat well and take care of themselves.
You know, and And it's even hard for you and people like you who are trying to do all the right things. It's got to be costly to do organic farming, more costly to do organic farming than it is to do it the way that they're doing it now, isn't it?
Well, it depends. It's on a continuum because I'm real small. I mean, I raise most of my crops by hand on about 2 acres of land, and I can feed probably 200, 300 families off of that little bit of land because I intensely crop it. And it doesn't cost a lot for inputs for me because I use what I have here. I use cover crops. I use compost from my horses, whatever. And I'm able to grow a lot of food in a small area. So if we want to have a real discussion about what's going to feed people, it's a bunch of small farms growing a lot of food on small amounts of ground, because you don't feed the people of the United States on corn and soybeans. Those are export commodities.
Right,
so
right.
The farms that really grow the crops are the smaller ones that are diverse, although it's very labor intensive. That's where the rubber hits the road. Who's going to come out there and help hoe and cultivate and deal with the competitive weeds in the field if you don't have the easy way out of just spraying? You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. So when you're talking about corporate farms, the corporate farms aren't going to deal with, you know, what it is you and smaller farms like yours and organic farms, which are more concerned about the health of the vegetable and the fruit than they are about the profit, right? I mean, that clearly has to be what separates organic farmers from corporate farmers who their bottom line is the dollar. The organic farmer, the bottom line is the health of the vegetable or fruit. Is that safe to say?
Well, and then there's some small farms that are organic. But let's go back to the 70s when Earl Butz says, get big or get out. He said that to all the farmers because the universities and our government pushed farmers to get bigger and bigger and bigger, take out the hedgerows, buy more equipment, put up huge silos, put in manure. You know, it was all about trying to get farmers to go into debt to get bigger, and they were told that that was success. But we know now that that wasn't very much success, because a lot of those farmers went out of business because they couldn't service the debt that they went into to be farming that way. So now what we have is, I looked up the stats the other day. There used to be like, what was it? How many? There used to be over, I think, 200,000 dairy farms in Wisconsin, and now we're down to less than 70,000. And those that are left are big, and they're spreading manure on small amounts of
right.
land and causing a lot of environmental damage. When you think about it, a corporate farm is a corporation, and the corporations have to serve the stakeholders. That's the number one thing of a corporation. So they don't serve the environment. They don't even serve their customer. They have to serve their stakeholders, so they have to make money. So if they're going to sell a product for consumption that's not that great, it doesn't matter to them because they're making a profit, because profit is the only thing driving them, because that is the heart of corporate activity.
Julie, you are just a breath of fresh air. I was going to say a breath of fresh manure, but
I wouldn't mind being that.
Breath of fresh air. We've got to go to a break. Hang on. It's always pleasant having you on. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Settle for big box service and pricing when it comes to your flooring. Choose Straight Edge Flooring for quality and personalized service. A family-owned flooring company, they offer full-service flooring solutions from material to install, including on-site dust-free refinishing. Straight Edge Flooring installers are CFI certified and fully insured, with free in-home consultations to simplify your project. Choose Straight Edge Flooring. Log on straightedgewi.com. That's straightedgewi.com, or call 414-779-8931 and make your vision a reality.
As a veteran of our country's armed services, you may be experiencing hardships, but we are clear in our mission. No Wisconsin veteran should ever have to face homelessness or lose heat, power, or water again. Apply today by calling 833-WIS-VRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Visit VRAPWI.com.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
MyShiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, low is around 28. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, high of 50. Turning much warmer Thursday and Friday with highs in the low 60s. Chance for scattered showers Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Julie DeLaterre, and she is with Singing Trees Farm. You know, Julie, it's, man, time just flies with you. And you got so much information. And I know I said we were going to work to get you on more, and I promise you that after today, we'll make sure that we make that happen, because there are people who, you know, a lot of people have their own little vegetable gardens that they're growing, because they just know that what they're buying in the stores is bereft of vitamins and iron and all the things that vegetables are supposed to give you. And these corporate farms and the things that they're producing looked apart. I mean, you know, you look at the stuff, the cabbages are flawless, right? I mean, you look at all of the apples and all, I mean, stuff just looks, they're on top of it. It looks like plastic. But the worst part about it is it tastes like plastic too.
Here's the crux of it, Earl. First of all, I really enjoy these conversations with you, too, so I'm looking forward to doing more of them. But the powers that be don't want competition. They don't want small farms. They want to vertically integrate, which means from the bottom to the top, they want to own all the means of production. They want to control everything. So what I'm saying is power to the people. You know, growing your own food is the first act of radicalism. I heard that from Will Allen. He used to have a project over there. He gave a talk out here one time. He's exactly right. You grow your own food, you are engaging in an act of independence. People are powerful. We can change the system if we want to change it. We don't have to be their lackeys. We don't have to get sick. We don't have to take their crap. We can stand up for ourselves.
You know, you said we don't have to get sick. I always say to people, when you have a for-profit healthcare system, and if the people are healthy, your for-profit healthcare system is not going to be healthy. So they clearly, And there's some sinister things going on that I know the American people don't want to believe, but I believe it. And I believe that when they do what they do to food and they know what they're doing, it's causing havoc to the systems of people. And they don't care about whether or not it damages people. Then really, we've got to wake people up and get them to understand that we're under assault by corporations, and trying to maintain you and your family's health is an uphill battle unless you're willing to listen to people like you and kind of, you know, and do the things that and listen to what it is you and others like you say, because the other side of it doesn't care about your family or you. They're more concerned about the dollar bill.
Exactly. That's the mantra now. When I was a kid, people didn't say the word greed, but now it's like it's been normalized. Greed's the way to go. And like, where's our moral compass? You know, what right. is our legacy going to be when we're gone? How are people going to remember us? Are they going to remember us because we bought 8,000 million Big Macs, or because we actually did something in our community that alleviated the suffering of one of our fellow human beings, or we took care of the birds, or we did something that was beyond ourselves? Because as a human, we get more feedback from giving to others than giving to ourselves. And when it comes down to brass tacks, we get neurotransmitter release from actually giving of ourselves and being good to other people. We get more from that than staring at our cell phones or looking at the TV or anything. That's our biggest high, is to actually be part of a community and actually take care of somebody besides ourselves.
You know,
we have to realize that.
You know, Julie, if I didn't already have a wife, because, I mean, you got it so right. And so we've got to get people to come out of this just accepting everything in this country. And that everybody is out to do what's in the best interest of you and your families. Nothing could be further from the truth. I'm not anti-American.
Nope.
I'm anti-business when it comes to not being concerned about the health of people. And that's what we're
fighting. When you think about it, Earl, it doesn't make good economic sense to be the system that we're in, because in the final analysis, the parasite will destroy its host.
That's correct.
The corporations won't have anybody to parasitize once they've destroyed all of us. So what's the point?
You know, I don't know, Julie, if I can have you back on again if you're going to keep using words like parasitize. I mean,
and physics.
You got to make it a little simpler for an old guy like me. But you know, I just love your spirit and the truth that you bring. And like I said, we've got to get you on again and again and again. I promise you to reach out to you after I'm off the air today, because I know people have to enjoy just not just the knowledge that you bring, but your spirit. We got to run.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll talk with you soon.
Yep. Sounds right. Good, Earl.
Bye-bye.
You have a great day.
You
Thanks,
too.
Everyone, for listening.
That's Julie Deleteri of Singing Trees. Man, I love having her on. We'll be back. We'll be joined by Jim Schultz of West Coast. And you'll find out what that is on the other side. Be right back.
If you're living with chronic pain and have yet to find relief, Select Pain Care of Milwaukee may be able to help.
Select Pain Care specializes in helping those that have had their pain for more than 6 months and have tried three or more healthcare providers with minimal relief. Find out if Select Pain Care can help you. Call 414-939-5045. That's 414-939-5045. Or log on at selectpaincare.com.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 6-
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.